Erev Tov, if it's evening where you're at. If you're watching this in the morning, Bokar Tov, that's good morning. And we are going to learn some things this evening. I would say Elohim Tov, but then the crowd, I don't know if the crowd is ready for all
three of us.
Yeah, I know, huh? So, but we're going to have a great Bible study tonight. Before I get started, let me pray in. Because I really want you guys to get an understanding, because the Lord is like, they're going to fall asleep. They're falling asleep. Mm-hmm. They're forgetting everything they know, everything they've been, that you've shown them, and they're going to fall asleep. So you got to tell them, don't fall asleep. It's time to stay awake and alert. Don't let your compass be what the world's showing you. Let your compass be what the Bible's showing you. And so if you guys keep your heads in the Bible, keep your head where prophecy is right now, where we are on the timeline, you will stay focused and you will understand what's going on. OK, don't fall asleep on me, because some crazy things are happening in the world. And you guys all know that someone sent me Obama's. I would keep calling him old Biden. What is his name again? Biden. Biden. Is he Biden? Oh, well, old Biden. His door-to-door vaccination plan. Like, you can come to my door. I got something for you. But, yeah. But, and then all kinds of other crazy things, you know, that they've got planned for the world after we leave. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling people send me stuff, and I keep saying, oh, this sounds really scary, but I won't be available. I'll be on my honeymoon. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sending it to me, but I'm not going to go through this, because I don't see any reason to freak myself out before I leave and go on my honeymoon. You know what I mean? Right. I'm about to leave. I'm trying to just enjoy the fact that I'm leaving, you know, but they keep sending me stuff. Like. So anyway, I'm keeping my head in the Bible, keeping myself doing the things that God wants me to do to help you stay ready for the day of the exit, because it's so easy, like the 10 virgins, for everybody to fall asleep. But when the trumpet sounds, I just want you to have the materials you need to go before the King. Okay, amen. So let's just pray. Avanu, our Father who is in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you this evening for this study. We thank you, Father God, for all of our members, Father God. We thank you for everyone everywhere all around the world, Father God, as they listen to this message tonight. Father, I just pray that you would help them to be encouraged, to help them to know the time that they're living in, help them, Father God, to know the reality of who you are and what is going on in the world, that it is a reality to the enemy and it should be a reality to us. In Jesus' name, Father God, I pray over your word, Father God, that it is spoken clearly with understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to talk about something this evening. What we're going to talk about is a day called the 17th of Tammuz, which is a very strange day. It's one of the four or five fast days that the Jews have. Look at this girl. She's eating that delicious pizza right in front of me. You're killing me. No, I'm not hungry. I'm okay.
It's just funny.
It's Abigail here. She's enjoying her dinner, but she's like, okay, you go ahead, Abigail. I'm sorry. I found a chance. I won't pass up a chance to be funny. So, all right. So anyway, the 17th of Tammuz is that day that Moses came back down from the mountain, and they were worshiping the golden calf. And so the 17th of Tammuz became a cursed day in the nation of Israel. So because of that, every 17th of Tammuz is one of their fast days. They fast on the 17th of Tammuz. And so that was the worship of the golden calf. The 17th of Tammuz. Now the The name that the Jews give this day, the 17th of Tumas, is the beginning of the end, meaning that this is the action that started the end, because the 17th of Tumas led to their destruction. Okay, so then we get to the other day, which is a fast day, which is the 9th of Av, and that will be August 16th and 17th of this year. And so, and that's when the 12 spies went out, and then the people didn't believe the two that were telling the truth that they could go in and speaking faith. They believed the 10 that were fearful, and so they were afraid to go into the land, and they spent the day crying that they'd never get to go into the promised land. And one of the Jewish guys that I was listening to said that God said to them, you were crying for nothing. You should have had faith and went into the land. But since you were crying for nothing, so on the 9th of Av, I'm going to give you something to cry about. Mm-hmm. So the 9th of Av is, of course, a crazy, crazy day in the history of the Jewish people. And it is also a fast day. It's the day that they fast, because these are days that brought about the destruction of the Jewish people and of the nation. And of course, both temples were destroyed on the 9th of Av. But there's some things we need to learn about the 17th of Tumas that are very important too. The 17th of Tumas is right around the end of the wheat harvest. So we are looking at this whole month, and we're looking at it being called the day they call the beginning of the end. Okay, that's what they called Tumas, the beginning of the end. And so let's get over here and let's study. I got my Bible. Okay. And let's see if I can, I hope like, and we sent out all the Bible studies to everyone, right, Pastor Ben? Okay, so let's do some reading first, because I want you guys to really know and understand what we're talking about here tonight, okay? Because God is trying to keep you awake during this wheat harvest season, and to not fall asleep during this wheat harvest season. And so if you can stay awake, my wife just walked in, beautiful. And so now God wants you to stay awake during this wheat harvest season. I am very much sure about one fact now, that Pentecost is not the certain rapture day. It has to happen on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is the first fruit, which begins the wheat harvest season. And for that whole harvest season is when the harvest is being taken up and being gathered. So anything can happen during the wheat harvest season, which should be, which is toward the end of this month in July. Okay, so let's talk about the 17th of Tumas, okay? It is, first of all, I think the fourth day of the Hebrew month. It is called the beginning of the end, okay? The 17th of Tumas is the beginning of the end. And it's a 3 weeks of mourning, and they mourn. So there's 21 days between the 17th of Tumas and the 9th of Av. There's 21 days between. So this is a time of fasting. This is a time that the Jewish people mourn, because from 17th of Tumas and the 9th of Av are the 2 days that have brought more destruction on the nation of Israel than any other day. So they fast on these days because of this is a time for mourning. Now, I want to read a little more. It says it's the fourth month. Is the fourth month, and it's on the 17th day when this begins. Okay, so the whole fasting and mourning time. They have other days that they fast and mourn. As a matter of fact, I'll read it to you in the book of Zechariah in a moment. They have other days that they fast and mourn, over the destruction of the temples and the destructions and the things that have happened to the nation of Israel. But the 17th of Tumaz and the 9th of Av are two very big ones. Now, 17th of Tumaz. It says the 17th of the summer, the 17th of the summer month of Tumaz is a Jewish fast day, okay? So they want you to know this is a summer month, okay? Tumaz is in the summer, okay? It is the 17th day of the summer months. So that means it is during the wheat harvest that all this stuff is happening. So now we're going to talk about the fast of the fourth month spoken of by Zechariah in the book of Zechariah chapter 8, new beginning, verse 18 to 23. So let's go there. Because of the days and times we're living in, I'm looking at this summer being a wheat harvest and the church being gone. And I don't want to play around with this because I don't want you thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, we have, everything's going back to normal. I think I'll just, well, keep some oil in your lamp. Here we go. Okay, so I'm going to start reading this at verse 18. It says, again, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fast of the fourth, fifth, seventh, and tenth month will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many people and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come, and in the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going, and many people and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. Now, he's talking right now about the time that Christ is back on the earth, okay? Because, and he's saying, these months that you have normally called the fast days that you grieve and you mourn over, he says, all of these fast days are going to become days that of joy and singing, right? And in one of the things that from on the Hebrew side, it says, may God grant this day, that day, soon to be converted to a holiday. So he's saying the 17th of Tumaz, when Jesus comes back, is going to become a holiday. The 9th of Av will become a holiday. The 10th of Tevet will become a holiday. The seventh of Tishri, or the third of Tishri, will become a holiday. And those 10 days of mourning in Tishri, all this stuff, he says, these will be holidays when the Lord will come back, because there will be days of joy. There will no longer be days where you say, oh my God, the 17th of Tumaz is here. Let's pray that nothing happens. Let's go into mourning and fasting and praying, because we know in 21 days, the 9th of Av is coming. And when the 9th of Av comes, oh, we don't know what's going to happen, right? So this is what the Lord is saying. They are days of grieving and mourning to you now. But when the Lord comes and he returns, People from every nation are going to grab a hold of a Jew and say, take us with you. We hear that the Lord is living with you. He's living in Jerusalem now. And they'll take us, and all of these mourning days will become feast days of joy. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. Now I'm going to go to the second page because I need you to we need to know these things before we move on. Okay. Now, 21 days before the 9th of Av is the 17th of Tammuz, okay? The day Moses broke the tablets was the 17th of Tammuz. So he comes back down from the mountain, and they are worshiping a golden calf and having a party. And on that day, he broke the tablets. That's the 17th of Tammuz. So that is the day that has been a marker with God since that time, okay? Now, it is the 17th of Tammuz is 21 days before the 9th of Av. What happened on the 9th of Av? 12 spies came back, and when the 12 spies came back, only two of them gave a good report, and 10 said, we can't do it, we can't go into the promised land. The people chose to believe the bad report and ignore the good report, and then they didn't go in, and that was on the 9th of Av. Okay? So there's a 21-day cycle between the 17th of Tammuz. So this summer, from the 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av, will be 21 days of mourning in the nation of Israel, okay? Over the destruction of both temples and many other events that have happened in the world to the Jewish people on the 9th of Av. And so, here, let's look at some of the things that have happened on the 9th of Av so you'll get a better idea, okay? Now, every major disaster in Jewish history is connected to the 9th of Av. It all began with the 12 spies. That's when that began. The 17th of Tammuz is the other one, but we'll talk about that. Okay? It says the Jews were expelled from England July 18th, 1290 on the 9th of Av. The Jews were expelled from France July 22nd, 1306 on the 9th of Av. The Jews were expelled from Spain on July 31st, 1492 on the 9th of Av. Germany entered World War I August 1st-2nd, 1914 on the 9th of Av. caused massive upheaval in Europe. Jewry, whose aftermath led to the Holocaust. Then in 1941, August 2nd, on the 9th of Av, the commander Heinrich Himmler formally received an approval from the Nazi Party for the final solution. And so that was the plan to how to get rid of kill every Jew as fast as possible. And that was approved on the 9th of Av. As a result, the Holocaust began during which almost one third of the whole Jewish population perished. Okay, and that was the 6 million. On July 23rd, 1942, was the 9th of Av, began a mass deportation of Jews from Warsaw ghetto to a Treblinka, to route to Treblinka. And you'd have to read the history to know how what they were being led to their death. And then the AMIA bombing on the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires killed 85 people and injured 300 July 18th, 1994 on the 9th of Av. Okay? Then Israel, under the direction of Condoleezza Rice and George Bush, began to deport Jewish people out of the Gaza Strip, expelling 8,000 Jews from their homes. August 15th, 2005, on the 9th of Av. Okay? Now, the walls of Jerusalem, now, you see this wall that we have over here, the the Hakotel HaMaravi, the Western Wall, that is where the temple was, okay? Now, in 60, when was the temple destroyed?
70 AD,
okay? In 70 AD. Now, on the 17th of Tumas, 21 days before the 9th of Av, okay? Before the 9th of Av, they breached the walls that had been, it had been under siege for quite some time, but they had finally breached the walls on the 17th of Tumas, okay? Because it started in 69 AD, but then in 70 AD, on the 17th of Tumas, they finally breached the walls. And then it says 3 weeks later, 21 days after the Jews, they put up a fight with the Romans, the temple was destroyed and burnt down on the 9th of Av. But on the 17th of Av, they finally broke in through the walls, okay? So, 17th of Tumas, 9th of Av, very important days on the coming calendar, very close to us. July 26th, 27th, will be the 17th of Tumas. August 16th, 17th will be the 9th of Av, okay? So I want you to know that these days are ahead of us and why the Lord wants you to know and understand that in this summer month, in the month of the wheat harvest, is a very important days in the Jewish history that are being covered during the wheat harvest. And the 17th of Tumas, the name of it is what? The beginning of the end, okay? So, I want us to go to listen to the Lord. Yeah, I want us to go to Psalms 48, okay? I want us to go to Psalms 48. Because I want to be straightforward as possible of what the Lord is showing me. And what the Lord has been showing me is all of these dates and these things happening are not just things that kind of came together and just happened. You have, I just read to you, maybe 9 or 10 things that happened on the same. Now, when I read to you about the 9th of Av right there, all of those things that happened, we fail to forget that both temples were destroyed on the 9th of Av, okay? So the 9th of Av became a very tragic day in Jewish history. And it's amazing that a temple can be destroyed 3,000, 2,000 years apart, and they both get destroyed on the exact same day. That means a God in heaven is in charge of what's going on. Like, I know exactly what day this is going to happen, right? So all the Romans who are deciding, hey, we're trying to break in here, and so with that, once we break in here, we can destroy this temple. The fact that they couldn't break the siege until the 17th of Tumas means that God was involved in it, and that they couldn't get through until the 17th of Tumas. Then 21 days later, they burnt down the temple exactly on the 9th of Av. So you've got to say, as a human being and a follower of Jesus Christ, am I watching God control the world? Because if God is controlling the world and God is controlling time, and God knew when the temple would be destroyed, and he knew when he's measuring things. And so if you don't understand that, you will ignore everything that you've seen in the last year. And you will begin to think God's not involved again. Let's just all relax and hope that the government treats us well. And that is not the plan of the Bible. You've got to stick to studying the Word of God so that you know where you're at, okay? So as we get to Psalms 48, which is, we all know, the 19th book of the Bible, the 48th chapter is for the year 1948. I know that a bunch of men got together and canonized the Bible and decided which books would go where. So the fact that they decided that Psalms would be the 19th book, and that and they decided certain books cannot make it into the Bible, and they decided there'll be 66 books, and then the 19th book will be Psalms, and oh, let's count backwards from Revelation and make sure that Psalms is the 48th book, so we center everything on 1948. It seems like people would wake up and go, somebody's designing this thing. This is strange stuff going on. You understand? And so this is what the Lord wants me to show you tonight. He's in the heavens. He's controlling everything. He's shown you everything. He's put it before your face. And some people right now are going back to sleep because they can walk in the mall without a mask on. They're like, well, we thought it was going to be the end, but I guess not. Let's, you know what I mean? Let me get back to life as usual. The Lord is saying, no, you saw something happen in 2020. It was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of the church leaving. Okay. So we know everything that happened in 1948. We see here, it says, great is the Lord, the most worthy of praise in the city of our God. His holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. The utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king, which is Jesus. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded, but they fled in terror. Trembling seized them. Pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them, God. You destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish shattered by the east wind. So we all know Israel moved back into the land. The kings gathered together. They came against war and they were destroyed. And so that all happened in 1948, 19th book, 48th chapter. But now you get to verse 13 and God says, oh, well, let's read verse 12. God says, walk around Zion, okay? Because people said it couldn't happen, okay? Walk around Zion, go around her, okay? Count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, that you may go and tell it to the last generation, or the Hebrew Lador HaAcharon, the terminal, final generation. Yeah. So he's saying, when you see this happened in 1948, go and tell it. He doesn't call 1967 the last generation. He calls 1948 the last generation. When you see this happen, go and tell it to the last generation. Okay. So God measured. And he's saying, this is the last generation, okay? 1948 is going to begin the last generation. At this point, I wish I could have recorded some of the people that I talked to at the synagogue that I was going to visit on Saturday, but some of the Holocaust survivors that went to that and that talk about when Israel came back into the land, and when the land was renamed Israel, and how incredible the world, how the Christian community of the world were so absolute sure that now the world will know that our God is real. You know what I mean? It was like, now you got, it's been saying this for 2,520 years. Now look at this. It's called Israel. Mm-hmm. And it's back, okay? The Bible is real. And Christians, she said, everywhere were strong about this fact. And then, but she said, now you don't even hear Christians speaking about this. I grew up in church and nobody even mentioned that Israel was back in the land, right? I mean, just sweep right over that. Let's get to tithes and shouting and yep. and praise and worship, and let's sweep over the fact that God is doing something in the world, right? Then she said in 1967, this is the same lady, she said in 1967, when we got Jerusalem back, she said, people were stunned because they thought for sure they'd lose that war.
Right.
People were stunned. She said, not just Jews, the whole world was stunned because the whole world was writing off Israel.
Right.
They're done. And then, boom, they got Jerusalem and they got some more territory. And people, she said, then talks began that the Bible was real again. And she said, like, she says, I know you, because she would see me there and she would say, I know you're Nazarene, but I'm not going to say anything. Nazarene is a Christian, right? But I'm not going to say anything, you know. But she would give me materials all the time and she would talk to me. And so you got to understand and know that the world was excited because God appeared to them and he showed them, look at what I'm doing. And I'm doing it in, now, in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8, it tells you that 19 years after 1948, Jerusalem would be joined back and Israel would get Jerusalem back. It tells you it's going to be 19 years. The fact that it happened exactly 19 years later should shock the whole world. And everybody should know that that God is real. But still, like 9/11, things wear off. And then we get back to doing church. Let's do some more shouting and let's gather tithes and let's do some faith healing. And, you know, and then we go through the whole show. And not one person mentioned God brought back Israel and Jerusalem into existence after 2,520 years. Nobody mentions that.
Right.
But we're having church, right?
Right?
And we're missing out that God is involved. Okay.
Amen.
I don't even really want, I don't, I'm not going to go over the fact that Psalm 39 to Psalms 45 gives you a complete picture of the Holocaust. And since Psalms is the 19th book, that means what happened in 1939, the beginning of it, all the way to 1945, is all covered in Psalms 39 to 45. And it doesn't say a good thing about what's going on until Psalms 45, is because that's when the Holocaust was broken up and the war was won, right? So I'm not even going to mention that God is also measured out and knew that the Holocaust would not be over with till 1945. And so our God was in control of that whole thing as well, right? And for the fact that, please listen to me. For the fact that one third of every Jew died, and that was not just some number they threw out, that was in the newspaper, one third of every Jew. And then you go, wow, one third. But the Jews would not think to themselves, wow, one third of the Godhead died on the cross. Yeah. They wouldn't think that, because if they thought that, they would say, well, then maybe after three, Israel is going to be back in Jerusalem alive again, because after one third of the Jews died, 3 years later, 46, 47, 48, they're back in the land resurrected. And it's like, wait a minute, you've got to start thinking, who's doing this? Okay, if you're Christian, you got, who is doing this? Who's measuring out time and making sure that everything happens exactly the same, the way he said it would happen? Okay? So now let's go to Psalms 90. God is in control, and I'm so happy. Only through the power of God could I do what God has called me to do. And that is to try to make you guys aware of the fact that we're leaving. And if you sleep on that fact, you'll start listening to a bunch of stupid stuff and it will just blow you. Like I was telling Pastor Ben before I walked in today, I mean, before we get started today, some guy sent me a video. He's been, you know, emailing our church and, oh, I'm so excited about the rapture. Then he sends me a video today. Look what I learned. And it was a guy preaching that hell doesn't exist. Jesus died for all of our sins and nobody goes to hell. Rather, you're a Christian or not, nobody goes to hell. The place doesn't even exist because our God is too good to put a people there in that place. And then he's trying to send it to me to get me to agree with him because he believes like he's a pastor. I mean, that I'm his pastor and he's a member of S4C. And I'm like, don't ever email me again. I don't know you, and don't you ever call me pastor again. So I said, I had to cut that off. He kept saying, well, you've got to really listen to it. And so I sent him Luke, and I said, well, here's Jesus saying the guy was in torment, and he was in hell. And I said, so either Jesus is lying, or this guy that you sent me, your friend is lying. So one of them's lying. You figure it out, but don't call me back. Just figure it out and go with it, okay? Because I don't want to hear from you no more. And we have to understand that the fight for your soul is still on. Because I used to just go, I tell Pastor Ben, I used to go, nobody will believe that. I'm just going to leave that alone. Watch. You watch, okay? Because I thought nobody will be a black Hebrew Israelite. That's dumb. Yeah, how many black Hebrew Israelites you got, right?
Yep.
Okay, you're in Psalms 90, verse 10. Now, listen, I want to tell you guys something. It said, wait a minute, it says, the length of our days is 70 years. I know the history of 70 in the Bible. I know why he says the length of our days is 70 years. Then it says, or 80, and it says, and I'm going to say in Hebrew, it says, or 80, but through pride and arrogance. Okay, but 80 is not the strength. They have the strength that some Bible say, but 80 because of their pride and arrogance. Okay, so he says 70 years is a generation to man. Now, 70 years has been a generation to man, and everything has happened in the 70th year. Okay, when Abraham's father turned 70, that's when he began to have children. When Adam dies, he's 930. If he lived 70 more years, that would have been 1,000 years, and he wouldn't have died on the day that he sinned.
Right.
But since he died within the 1,000 years, he died on the day, in God's way, on the day that he sinned, even though he lived 930. But he was 70 years short.
Mm-hmm.
Israel was in Babylon for 70 years, okay? One generation. There's so many perfectly fulfilled 70-year generation prophecies in the Bible that we went through them when I think in 1918, we went through all the 70-year prophecies to show you every time there's a 70-year prophecy, it happens.
Yeah.
But now it says the length of man is 70 years or 80 because of their pride, because of their pride and arrogance, it will be 80. Okay? So it appeared to me that here's one time that we have a 70-year prophecy, but God is adding 10 years and saying, yeah, but it would be 70, but because of their pride and arrogance, it's going to be 80. And so the last generation is going to be. So we start counting from 1948, and it leads us to where? 2028. So now, since the Bible fully structured the way Israel came back into the land, how did the Bible fully structure the way Israel would come back into the land? Because in 1948, something had to happen before they went back into the land. What had to happen in 1948? The UN had to meet and declare to the world, we're giving the land back to the Jews. What's in Psalms 48? I mean, Psalms 47 at the last two verses. Let's read it. Now you're saying, wait a minute. Psalms 47. For God is king of the whole earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assembled as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Now, we know in 1948, the nobles of the earth gathered together and made a decision about concerning who? The people of Abraham. So the Bible's saying there's going to be a meeting. They're going to make a decision about the people of Abraham. Oh, and in Psalms 48, they're going to move back in the land and they're going to name it Israel. So I'm going to tell you how those 2 years are going. Then in Psalms 39 through 45, the Holocaust is going to start this way. They're going to be in tears. They're going to mourn and they're going to grieve. And they're going to even speak of an evil man and ask God to deliver us from the evil man. It doesn't say men. It says, they're saying, there's one man that's behind this. Lord, deliver us from this evil man, right? So Psalms is giving you the Holocaust year by year from 39 to 45. Not till you get to 45, till Psalms 45, does it read this? Watch. Okay, they're mourning all of the... Then the first good thing you hear is this. My heart is steered by a noble theme as I recite my verse for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God bless you forever. Gird up your... So now it starts talking about praises to God, right? But if you read... 39 to 44, mourning, grief, crying out to God. 45, I want to speak of a noble thing, okay? So God measured it. So now God is saying, look, it's not going to be 70. It's not going to be in 2018, okay? It's going to be in 2028, because it's 70 years are going to actually be 80. Okay, so we get to Psalms, and the Lord said, please show them this. Here it is, beginning of Psalms 120. First of all, it begins by saying this is the Psalm of Ascent. Okay, this is the beginning of what? The ascension up to Jerusalem. These are the 15 psalms that they sing as they go down to the Dead Sea, and then they have to go up to Jerusalem. Okay? So this is the psalm of ascending, the beginning of the ascent up to Jerusalem. And it begins by saying this. Woe to me. No, that's the wrong one. Oh, yeah, here it is. It says, I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. We should stop right there. Now, if all the other ones are measuring the years, why isn't this 2020? And if this is 2020, did you get lied to in 2020? Did you ask for God to deliver us in 2020 from lies? Okay? Is this an accident? Because if this is an accident, maybe Psalms 48 is an accident. Maybe Psalms 47 is an accident. Maybe Psalms 39 all the way to Psalms 45 is an accident. Maybe the guy who said, Stalin, who said that there is no God, right? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, which is a direct quote from Stalin. And he quotes it in 1914, and God marks it in the 19th Psalm. And then the year he dies in 1953, in Psalms 53, it says, the fool has said in his heart there was no God. On the exact day that he dies. So if Psalms is marking history and telling you when things are going to happen, who are we to get to Psalms 120 and knowing that it's 2020 and say, yeah, but that's not the lie that we endured. The whole corona thing, that, no, that was the lie. And you knew it was a lie. And we're still trying to endure the lie. And we're asking God to hatzilanu us from the lie, rapture us away from this lie, deliver us from this lie, because we know it's a lie. We don't even, now they're telling me, oh, they're going to come to house and make everybody, you know, get the thing, get the, and I'm like, what? So that means they haven't quit. They're still planning. Only the people of God are going, hey, the malls are open. Let's go back. We can go to the mall. We can go to the movie theater. Wow. This is awesome. Maybe things are getting back to normal. I better plan my future. I better forget about this rapture thing, because maybe this psalm of ascent, we're not really going to ascend. And you're in the wheat harvest in the year 2021, but in your heart, you just feel like things are going to get back to normal. You need to get back to doing the things you want to do. And then I'm not opposed to, what's the scripture? Continue until he comes. Oh. Give me the proper scripture. Occupy. I'm not opposed to occupy until you come. And I tell you, and I tell my sons, I tell anyone who is living, okay? If you want God to be on your side, and you're going for things in life, and you want to do things in life, I'm going to give you the secret to success. It's an old secret. Christ told them, and it still works to this very day. I'm going to give you the secret to having everything in your life that you need, including joy, peace of mind, and physical things that you need for life. This is the secret. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. Okay? Now, you have to reverse that, because some people don't reverse it. If you don't seek ye first the kingdom of God, everything will not be added to you. Okay? You can struggle to try and get things on your own, but as long as you're putting God second, if you ignore God, God's going to ignore you. Yeah. That's one scripture, and this young lady sent it to me, and she said, look at this. And I was like, wow, that is right there, and I think it was in Galatians or something. It was saying we should not ignore God, because God will ignore. So God wants you to put him first, and he's going to put you first, and he's going to take care of your needs. But you got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Yep. I'm never going to say, well, everything's back to normal, I can forget about God and start thinking about what I need to do and forget about God. I need to be seeking God first. Rather, I think the rapture is tomorrow, or I think the rapture is in 20 years. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things, because I know that keeps me ready no matter what.
Amen.
Okay. Praise God. So that's in Psalms 120. Then Psalms 121, it says this. This is not the psalm of the ascent anymore. This is the psalm to ascend. Out of all 15 psalms of ascent, 15 of them, only one say this is the psalm to ascend. This is the Lema Alot. This is not the Chama Alot. This is the psalm to ascend. Now, for it to be in the 21 makes it exactly 7 years before the 28th. You understand? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking counting days. Some people try to count years. They go, well, pastors, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028. See? So it could be in 2022. I said, you're counting the years. Count the days, because Yom Kippur is the time of his return in 2028, and we're giving that a stretch because Israel's birthday is before that, okay? So don't try to count by you counting years. Look at the calendars and look at the days, because the tribulation lasts 2,520 days. As of Yom Kippur 2021 to Yom Kippur 2028, you only have 2,541 days. So that means if you reach all the way to the end of this year, the time for the tribulation, 2,520 days, will have evaporated. You understand? That means that all of this 80-year prophecy and everything is out the window, because you've got to understand that God is measuring time. How could you be so bold? God is measuring time. I'm trying to explain to you. He's measuring the time. He's the one that put a perfect picture of the tribulation in Psalms 120 through 128, even to the point where you get to Psalms 122. They're talking about, I couldn't, you know, what does it say? It says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So now in 2022, they're saying the temple is going to be back. You get to Psalms 124, and that would be the middle of the tribulation. And it says here, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept us away. So they're praising God for not letting the flood waters overflow them. Listen, it says, if the Lord had not been on our side in 2024, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, so they're going to attack them in 2024. Yes, that's the middle of the tribulation. When their anger flared up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Now, in Daniel, it says in the middle of the tribulation, Satan's going to go sit in the temple. And then it says he's going to stop the sacrifices in the temple. And then it says he's going to become angry with the nation of Israel. And he's going to send out a what? A flood of water. Okay, that's a flood of trouble against the nation. Daniel says that. Then Revelation says, in the middle of the tribulation, when Israel goes and runs to a safe place, because Satan's going to send out a flood of water in the middle of the tribulation. Now here we are in Psalms 124, in the middle of the chapters for tribulation, and it says there's going to be a flood, and if God didn't stop the flood, we would have been destroyed. So the middle of the tribulation is being spoken of in 2024, right here in Psalms, letting you know that God is still measuring time.
Amen.
Almost done, Pastor Ben. In Psalms 20:26, in 20:26, listen what it says at the very end. It says, he who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying his sheaves with him. Wait a minute. He who went out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, the word of God, right? Mm-hmm. He's sowing the word of God. He will return with songs of joy, carrying his sheaves with him. Who's the sheaves? The wheat harvest, the barley harvest. He's coming back with us. Does every scripture tell us that he's coming back with the church? Yes. It says here he's coming back with his sheaves. Does every scripture say that we are a harvest? Yes. The scripture says he's coming back with his harvest. So Psalms 26 says the Lord's coming back with his harvest. Then you get to Psalms 27, and now he says Israel is rescued, and Israel is starting to give birth to their own children. And the strong man is now getting a birth of children by his wife. Israel is now producing children. Perfect picture of the tribulation. So you can relax on religious matters. You can't relax on truth. You can't relax on truth. You have to go back and say, what happened since the beginning? Who prophesied things that happened? Because if God prophesied things that they've already happened, if 1948 already happened, and 1947 already happened, and the Holocaust already happened, and God delivered them and brought them back into the land, and God brought back Jerusalem, and God now measures out the fact that you're going to be gone for 8 Jubilees and you won't have Jerusalem, but in 1917 they win Jerusalem back, and all of a sudden in the Jubilee in 1917, Jerusalem is being announced belonging to the Jews in 1917. Then in 1967, they win Jerusalem again in the Jubilee year. Then 2017, Trump announces Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And then you go, what's the common denominator on all those announcements that the Jews, that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews? 1917, 50 years later, 1967, 2017, 50 years later. Wow, who's controlling? Did God make Trump do that? He controls men. You can't forget that we're in a war, and you can't forget that your enemy has not relaxed, okay? So since your enemy has not relaxed, you need to stay in the Word of God and say, what is the future that the Bible tells me about? Not what man is telling you, what the Bible is telling you about. People getting excited about the budget and new checks that are free checks that are coming and all this. I'm like, you are getting excited about the wrong thing, okay? You need to get excited about the fact of the time that we're living in, and you just experienced Psalms 120. And now you're in Psalms 121 in 2020, and you have to, in 2021, and now you want to forget and say, okay, let me go back to doing life. I'm not going to forget what God has already done, and I'm not going to forget what God has shown me. Amen. And so I'm trying to keep the body of Christ focused on the fact. Now, I know it hurts people's feelings. You know, oh man, hate waiting on a rapture and it happened, just so disappointing. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to do one thing, okay? Forget about the rapture. Forget about the rapture. Just do me this one thing. This one favor for me and God, because he wants to see you at the wedding feast. Okay? Even if you don't want to think about the rapture. But see, the rapture keeps you focused. That's why God gave it to us. Yeah. But if you can't, do this one thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. If you're seeking God first, I guarantee you, you won't miss the rapture. Rather you're thinking about it or not, because your mind will be on Jesus, and that's the ticket in. Praise God. I'll see you guys tomorrow morning.
What time tomorrow, Pastor?
11 o'clock in the morning. Bebokir.
Amen.